Monsignor Rogers, my dear brother priests and deacons, sisters and brothers in Christ. Quite a number of people are standing, and I'd like to offer you a seat if you'd like one. We have to do this quickly because we don't have much time. If you'd like to sit up here in these empty things next to our seminarians, you're welcome to do so. If you want to, come right away, please, because I only have a few minutes to speak. We have another Mass at 12:30, I think, and I have to speak quickly. So please, as you're coming into the sanctuary, I'll have the seminarians help you find a place here. Come in right away, right there. Don't hesitate. You don't need a genuflect. Just come right up in. Come right up in. And it looks like we're filling up. That's probably the only spaces we have. Are there places in the pews that anybody has? There's a few places here in the pews, too, for those of you who might be shy about coming into the sanctuary. Very good. The Lord is risen.
Hallelujah.
The proper response for Christians is the Lord is truly risen, because we believe this to be true. So I'm going to say it again. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is truly risen.
Amen. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad because of the new life that we've received through Jesus Christ. Our first reading today is from the Acts of the Apostles. And in this reading, St. Peter describes what happened to Jesus. And the culmination of that reading was the first sermon of the early church. This is what St. Peter says. We are witnesses of all that he did. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one. Jesus is truly risen. That's the sermon of the early church. And the reason it was the first sermon of the early church is because it's a central mystery of our faith as Catholics. For us, this is not just a symbolic saying that really means that, you know, things will get better or that somehow God will make things work out, although we do believe that God makes things work out. Christians truly believe that the Jesus who was hung on the cross and who died for our salvation rose from the dead bodily and has, because of that, given us the gift of new life. Where Jesus went, we will follow if we're faithful to him. That's the heart, the central message of our Easter celebration. Our second reading today is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And for us to understand this reading, we have to understand something about the Jewish people and the Feast of Passover. And when the Jewish people were preparing to go through the Red Sea to freedom in the Promised Land, God told them to make unleavened bread, bread made without yeast, without leavening. And the reason for this is that unleavened bread travels better than leavened bread. You know, if you buy a good loaf of French bread down at the store today, in 3 days it will be as hard as a rock and almost impossible to eat. But unleavened bread, it's hard, but it's manageable. It's something that lasts. And the Jewish people to this day, as they prepare for the Feast of Passover, get rid of all the leaven in the community because the leaven is a sign of corruption, of something that will spoil. So that's the context of this reading of St. Paul, who was writing to Christians who, first of all, were Jews before they became Christians. And this is what he said. Brothers and sisters, do you not know that a little yeast leavens all the dough? Clear out the old yeast so that you may become a fresh batch of dough. For our Paschal Lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In other words, he's telling to them that Easter is our time when we celebrate a fresh beginning. Everything is new. We put away our past life of sin and corruption, in order to rise with Jesus to new life, even now. Because the resurrection isn't just about the future when we die, although we believe that we share in Jesus' risen life in a special way then. But even now, those of us who are Christians are supposed to begin to lead a new life. Easter's about newness. Last night, we lit a new fire. Last night, we prepared a new Easter candle, which is a symbol of the risen Christ among us. Last night, we blessed new water. Last night, we baptized new Christians. And all of us who are Christians at this Easter season are invited once again to have new ears and new eyes and new hearts so that we might begin to live a new life, the risen life of Jesus. I mean, this is about commitment, the change. It's not about nice-smelling Easter lilies or Easter eggs or bunnies. I mean, those are all symbols of newness, but they're very secular, right? We believe that Jesus gives us the gift of new life through his resurrection from the dead. Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of St. Luke. There's three or four points I'd like to make. First of all, St. Luke's gospel in this passage tells us that Jesus has nothing in common with death. Listen to what it says. You know, the angels went to the tomb, and this is what's described. Behold, two men in dazzling garments appeared to them. They were terrified and bowed down their faces to the ground. And the two men said to them, "Why are you seeking the living one among the dead? He's not here. He's risen." Now, Jesus has nothing to do with death. He's passed through death to new life. And to be a Christian means that we go with him from death to life, from darkness to light, from despair to hope, and from sorrow to joy. It's a passage to newness. Jesus has nothing at all to do with the dead. The second point that is part of this gospel passage is that Jesus teaches us and has taught us through his life, death, and resurrection the divine necessity of suffering. For Christians, we believe that the only way to new life is to sacrifice our selfishness and our sin. There's a long way between the cross, which is a symbol of Jesus' sacrifice, and the Easter candle, which is a symbol of new life. For us to arrive at the resurrection, we must first embrace the cross, which doesn't mean we have to love suffering, because we don't. Suffering's a terrible kind of thing. But there's no way to be generous and good without self-sacrifice, placing God and others before we place ourselves. That's the way of Christian discipleship, the path of Jesus. He tells us that no one can follow him unless we're willing to take up the cross and follow him, which is the cross of self-denial, self-sacrifice. So we're supposed to put away the yeast of self-centeredness in order to have a life that's given wholly over to God in the service of our brothers and sisters. Jesus teaches us the divine necessity of self-sacrifice in order to arrive at the life of the resurrection. The third thing that today's gospel tells us is it's not enough for us to be impressed with the Christian message. It tells us at the end of this passage that Peter, who didn't believe these women, he thought they were kind of crazy, nonetheless was curious, so he ran to the tomb, and this is what happens. Peter got up and ran to the tomb, bent down, and saw the burial cloths. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. There's a possibility that you and I will go away from this Mass this morning amazed at the beautiful music, or how wonderful the sanctuary looks, or how wonderful the bishop preached. I hope you at least will think that a little bit, you know. And that's not what this is about. It's not about being amazed or about being impressed. It's about being converted. Amazement is not the same as conversion, because conversion requires commitment to a different way of life. And that's what Jesus wants of us. That's what Easter is about. It's about change. It's about that passage, that Passover, from death to life, from selfishness to self-giving, embodied in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You know, at Easter, Jesus rose from the dead. But it's important for us to understand that his resurrection wasn't just something that the apostles saw. Because Jesus, when he rose from the dead, returned for us. That's what the resurrection is about. It's not just about Jesus passing from this life to the next life that we all will have sometime after our death. But Jesus returned to us. He returned to Peter and didn't let Peter remain in his confusion about denying Jesus three times. He returned to Thomas, who was a doubter, in order that Thomas might believe. He returned to Mary Magdalene and the women in today's gospel so they would stop being sad and understand the meaning of the resurrection. And Jesus returned from the dead for you and for me to grasp our hands and to lead us in the direction of the new life that he won for us. My dear sisters and brothers, let's not let this grace pass by us today. Let's not celebrate this Easter feast amazed, which would be a celebration in vain. But let us ask the Lord to truly transform us, that we can say with all our hearts, the Lord is truly risen. Alleluia. Let us rejoice and be glad.